Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is the Reverend Billy, who is an anti-corporatist activist who takes the role of a revivalist minister with his Church of Earth Alleluia. The Reverend and his gospel choir exhort consumers to abandon the products of large corporations and mass media. He also preaches a broader message of economic justice, environmental protection, and anti-militarism, protesting sweatshops and illegal and unnecessary wars. And welcome to Background Briefing, the Reverend Billy.
Well, I have to live up to that introduction.
You do. I take it you've just returned from Burning Man up in the Nevada desert. Were you saving souls from sin up there?
I think that an evangelist has to give up. You know, you have to let it go. There's 70,000 people out there this year, and so many people walking by and bicycling by in fluorescent bikinis and combat boots. You just have to retire to a new position with your evangelism. You have to say, well, let me sit with you. Amen, praise be.
I see.
Save our souls some other time.
Well,
amen.
I take it then there are probably a lot of sinners there going back to the way the Lord made them, naked in the world.
Yes, it has a Garden of Eden aspect, even though it's, rather than being a verdant jungle or whatever Eden was, it's a absolutely arid desert. There are no plants. If you see a raven way up in the sky, that might be the only bird you ever see. It's where the Paiute live, and north of Reno, Nevada. And it's the source, the place that was the beginning of one of the greatest activist ventures in our history, what is known in English as the Ghost Dance, Wovoka, a holy man taught the Native Americans and the tribes across North America, took up the ghost dance one by one by one by one. It was a simple circle dance, but it had a visionary instruction in which you talk to the dead and talk to the ancestors. It was the last venture by the people who, the Native Americans, swept across the country.
So I wanted to talk to you because of what's happening in your city, New York City, even though you've been out here in Nevada.
We need a ghost dance in New York. I tell you, we need a visionary dance that changes the way things are there. It's been 10 years since 9/11, and we've got to change. The word change has had its meaning drained of it by our president. We have to reclaim that word, can we?
Tell me about what happened 10 years ago after 9/11, or your experience that you want to relate and perhaps revive on this 10th anniversary.
Many thousands of people gravitated to Union Square, this font of progressive imagination with so much history. It's where George Washington led the Continental Army and got off his horse and met the city fathers, and it just has always had an unexplained political impact just being there. And in our, we think of the May Days, we think of the first Labor Day parade was there, and the much of the labor movement, the 40-hour week, the 8-hour day, Paul Robeson singing Sacco and Vanzetti, the vigil waiting for the outcome, Dorothy Day, Emma Goldman's great speeches to the young women, bringing them out of the sweatshops and starting that consciousness that you could control how you spend most of your living day. I mean, what a turn in regarding your own life that was. Union Square has that in it, in the air that you breathe there. So many people came to Union Square after 9/11, night after night after night, and the police were basically not there. They backed away, and we slowly became ringed by alternative media and European media. And for 7, 8, 9 weeks, we had a sort of People's Republic there. And it's what we've got to get back to. I remember it as being the commons, a healthy commons. There were people at their easels. There were mementos everywhere. There were little altars. There were people in little groups crying. All faith backgrounds were represented there, all people from around the world. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was a place of original culture, would be one way of putting it. There was just breakdancing. There was singing. There was a feeling of freedom from the consumerist, militaristic culture that seems to be thick in the air now. It was an island of freedom, and people took care of each other. People stayed the 24 hours. It was a kind of a tent city. And everywhere, the coffee shop pictures of the missing, the color faces of, you know, that have been put there by the loved ones with these magic marker messages. Call home, Catherine, you know. Betty and John, miss you, you know.
Well, tell me about at that moment, though, where you felt that you had an island there in Union Square after 9/11. That was also the moment when the United States had the sympathy of the world. We were the victims of this terrible attack. And the United Nations, of course, is centered there in New York. But instead of it becoming an opportunity for a global response to this outrage, George W. Bush decided in his cowboy way to go it alone. And shortly thereafter, the United States became the victimizer.
Yes, the victim turned into the killer, and we started a series of colonial wars. Now our predator drones have just gone into their sixth country, Somalia, and Al-Qaeda, the bogeyman, is found simply everywhere. Yes, he is an adolescent bully, and in Union Square, that hadn't quite happened yet, or we were perhaps innocent in our belief that something good could happen. We did feel something good could happen. We were still invested heavily in peace and thought that there was a way that peace could happen. Amen. We were in a pause. We were between the World Trade Center and the falling of the bombs on Afghanistan and the night raids, the initial invasion there. We were in that window. And there was still basic conversations about war and peace were going on. We were standing in circles, passing the talk, and we had that belief still existed despite Cheney and Bush. We knew we were in charge. It was hard to imagine, but we were broken from that logic, free of that dark logic that we had.
Again, I'm speaking with the Reverend Billy, who's an anti-corporatist activist. He takes the role of revivalist minister with his Church of Earth Alleluia. He also preaches a broader message of economic justice, environmental protection, and anti-militarism, protesting sweatshops and illegal and unnecessary wars. And we're talking about the weeks following 9/11 in Union Square in New York. And take us forward then to this coming weekend, the 10th anniversary. What will you be doing?
Well, at 2 o'clock, we'll be out in Union Square just meeting people and remembering. And I look forward to seeing people there and having our shout-outs and re-inhabiting the First Amendment. Maybe the police will let us remember our response to 9/11 10 years ago, just as we respect, perhaps don't respect it, but let it happen. In that sense, respect it. They'll have the presidents there, and they'll have the old warriors there. I wonder if Cheney will be there. But we had a peace. We had a re-enlivenment of the activism of a good cause was going on. We were performing for each other, painting for each other, breakdancing. There was a grin in the air. and that is now illegal. Well, the public space has been shut down in New York officially, and it seems to have come from 9/11. The police have calcified in their emotions into just conflating dissent with Al-Qaeda. And it comes from that original, you're either for us or against us, cowboy kind of attitude. You can't grow the garden of a free park with all the surprising things that might happen there, and the strangers talking to each other, and the new dance moves and paintings and the proclamations of belief and all the kinds of things that can happen in especially Union Square with the echoes of so many freedom fighters there, the labor movement, May Day marches. Going back so many years, it just comes to you. It just comes into you. We got to have that back again. Generally, in our cities, in our towns, we have to be able to create from that old green place in the center of the culture. Again, we've lost our way, obviously. We've lost our way. I'm starting to preach now, watch out. Hallelujah. The commons has to come to life again.
Praise the Lord.
And we're gonna try to do that next Sunday in Union Square. Just have those memories and then come back into our own present tense. It's sexy. It's alive. It's real culture.
Tell me, though, about your recent arrest, because I know we were just talking about the tar sands protests in front of the White House that have been going on, and you were arrested protesting the Koch brothers in New York, weren't you?
Yes, the gas and oil company that finances the Tea Party and systematically smears the findings of Earth scientists, the Koch brothers, gave $100 million to Lincoln Center. The devils. And they got their name emblazoned on one of their most prominent buildings, the New York State Theater Building. And so a group of activist organizations, Koch Brothers Exposed, Brave New Films, Rob Greenwald, a number of people, and they said, let's have a flash mob there in the middle of Lincoln Plaza. And so the Earth Alleluia Church and the Rhythm Mechanical Orchestra and myself, we were enjoined to help lead the crowd. And sure enough, the flash mob worked. Boom. All of a sudden, why are all these people here? 500-600 people, bam, just coming right out of the side streets. And it was lovely to preach and parade and sing, and it was a successful gathering. Rob Greenwald showed movies, anti-Koch brothers funny movies, on the side of the building named after them now. You know, you remember those Lincoln Center buildings are kind of white marble. good movie screens. He rented a hotel room across the street and set up his projector. So there was good. It was good activism. We felt good about it, but then we started walking back to the subway. Oh, some of the Earth Alleluia singers and Savitri, my partner and the director of our performances, and our then 15-month-old daughter, this is a couple months ago now, Lena, and all of a sudden, we're just about to turn towards the subway and go back to Brooklyn, and these bodybuilders in T-shirts show up, claiming they're the police, and they, not really explaining why, they just shove me into a black car and drive away. In front of Lena, you know, in front of this child. I just think that we got to bring the First Amendment back, and there's always been a swing back and forth between security and the First Amendment, and that's a dynamic that's been going on since the 1790s. But now, after 10 years, now is the time to look at those 45 magic words, those five freedoms: worship, speech, press, peaceable gathering, and protest. If we return to the First Amendment, we'll develop a kind of safety in our commons places, on our streets, because of the play and the trust, how people gather, how they make original culture together. The First Amendment must return now. Amen? Well, somebody give me a Bill of Rights out there. Amen. Please be.
Surely there is a connection, though, between our response to 9/11 and the dilution of the First Amendment.
Absolutely. There's definitely a relationship. Anytime that we're in a conflict, even these illegal colonial conflicts, they're so far away and kind of erased from our consciousness by commercial media, there's always an impact in your domestic place. Down in the park in the middle of town, the war comes to you. They both have to end. Now we have to have peace on the edges of our markets. We're always killing people, trying to save them for democracy. We also have to free the public space that we have right in front of us. Amen.
So, given that you're going to try and revive this moment that you had after 9/11 in Union Square this coming weekend, and I take it that it sounds like Mayor Bloomberg, for all of the good press he gets, has changed the nature of New York City. I mean, if you can't have any kind of protest, I mean, what are the rules? What are the limits?
Well, we got beat up pretty bad at the Republican National Convention. Thousands of us were just rounded up, and even though many lawsuits later, and you know, many judges later, It has been called extra-legal. Nonetheless, our police department has the kind of ferocity that the Miami police showed, that the Minneapolis police showed when there was a convention there. We have had local police departments militarized, heavily armed. That started happening during Clinton. And really writing their own laws. They write what they call administrative mandates. We can't have 21 people gather. You know, Union Square is our speaker's corner. You get up on a soapbox and start shouting. At the moment that you have 21 people, as opposed to 20, then you're off to prison. Or somebody in a uniform walks up and says, you've got to have a permit.
So,
of course, you know, I've got bullhorns. I've got dozens of bullhorns that have just been pulled from my hands by police. You know, despite the fact that almost everything in New York is louder than you can make a bullhorn sound, right? So the rule is very strict in their limits on free speech.
The rule protects boring speakers, right? If you can't get a correct car.
Boring speakers and, you know, the screaming sirens of police cars and garbage truck brakes and all the other sounds that assail your ears in New York City. They're all many decibels higher than my little bullhorn. But what comes out of the bullhorn is a political belief system. Let's empower local economies. Pull your money, pull your energy out of the big corporations. Let's get away from Wall Street. Let's not support Wall Street. I'm an earth radical, Brother Ian.
So it's
amen.
Wall Street and Walmart, right?
That's right.
Anything that starts with W-A-L.
Hallelujah, there it is.
By the way, I just found out, I'm absolutely astounded at this story, that a young child, I believe, was bitten by a bat in a Walmart, inside a Walmart, shopping with his or her parents. And the Walmart people refused to, you know, she had to be immunized for rabies. And the Walmart refused to take responsibility for the fact that there were bats flying around inside a Walmart. So clearly they need...
Well, you have to understand that the Walmart people are a cult. I don't know if any of the listeners have read anything about the relationship that they have to right-wing apocalyptic Christianity. They're not reality-based, Brother Ian.
Really? You mean these...
And they don't think those bats were there. They probably think those people snuck those bats in there and that those people are actually... Oh, my preaching is...
Right, but there's...
Incited a neighborhood dog to barking. This dog works for Walmart. It's barking at me, and then please be...
So just in closing, let me just go back to this coming weekend, and you're hoping to revive the spirit of Union Square following 9/11. Do you think that you're going to be able to accomplish anything with these onerous restrictions? Can't you get a permit? I mean, what are the rules? I mean, how come they've turned New York into a you know, no free speech zone?
Well, I know that this will. Is coming at this moment into the ears of New Yorkers from sister station WBAI. I know that many of us in this community of Pacifica in New York, we know that we must reclaim our public space. We're coming to the end of this mayor and hopefully coming to the end of this police commissioner, Ray Kelly, who obviously just dedicated to the death of people needing on their own. You know, they don't want that free play. They don't want that kind of creative chaos. They're both straight-laced guys. If Bloomberg seems a little less of a Nazi than Rudolph Giuliani was, he's more like a Clinton-style Nazi. He's got marketers around him, and he tries to have the image of freedom, but, you know, the second you raise your voice in a public park in New York right now, you can be arrested very quickly. I've been arrested just repeatedly in Union Square, and I felt that spending the night in the tombs from Union Square is just kind of something I owe to the place. I owe to the memory of the place. You know, maybe it'll happen again Sunday, although I have a performance Sunday night, so I hope I don't get... I'm asking the police who are listening right now, the spies in our city, give Reverend Billy a break on Sunday when he preaches in the afternoon so that I can because I got a gig that night. Amen?
Amen. Well, I thank you so much for gracing us with your presence, Your Holiness, here today.
Brother Ian, don't accuse me of being holy. And I hope that I see some of you out at Union Square at 2 o'clock this Sunday.
All right.
September 11th.
I thank you again for joining us. Reverend Billy is an anti-corporatist activist who takes the role of a revivalist minister with his Church of Earth Alleluia. The Reverend and his gospel choir exhort consumers to abandon the products of large corporations and mass media. He also preaches a broader message of economic justice, environmental protection, and anti-militarism, protesting sweatshops and illegal and unnecessary wars. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.